And welcome to North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Probosky. Tim Kearns will be working remotely, as has been Bill Newell. And not a whole lot to say here. It's strange times, very strange times. I was just reading about my daughter being down at Drexel University and what they're doing down there in Philadelphia. And it's all interesting, and I don't know where it's going to go, but the panic buying has got me a little upset. We generally buy our groceries once a week, and by doing so, we missed out last week on Saturday especially. So we're hoping that grocery stores get resupplied here in the area at some point. Anyway, they're not today, I'll tell you. So anyway, let me get the right microphone in here, and that will help. Hold on. Hold on, I'm coming. There we go, that's better. Sorry about that. That's what happens when Tim isn't here. I get so confused. Anyway, Tim will be calling in. We'll talk with Tim in a little while. Tim Kearns, I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Probosky. Bill Newell has several interviews here today. And what we're going to try to do is try to wrap up the winter high school sports season as much as we can. Obviously, things are kind of messed up. We're also going to talk with a couple of ADs. We're going to talk with some coaches. We'll have our usual guests as well, and we'll be checking in with Nick Kukru. So what we'll be doing, we're going to talk with actually, Bill has some interviews coming up. He's going to be talking with I guess they're going to be co-champs. We'll talk to Lynn English High School basketball coach Antonio Anderson, checking in with St. Mary's girls coach Jeff Newhall. He's also the athletic director, of course. Trying to put the whole thing together will be Danny Ventura, Danny V from the Boston Herald. Bill will talk with him. I'll be checking in with Craig Genualdo in just a minute. We're going to start off tonight with the Hamilton Wenham Athletic Director and kind of get a recap on winter sports there. And then we'll check in with Nick Kukru. Nick's the Gloucester Times Sports Editor. He's got some stuff up on the Gloucester Times website and also in the paper highlighting winter sports and highlighting in particular this time winter female sports on Cape Ann. And so we'll check in with Nick about that. All that stuff in the those articles and get his opinion on things as well. See if he knows anything about what might be happening in fall sports. Let's see. Also, we'll talk with Gary Larrabee, as we always do on most Mondays here. See about a little golf action. Tomorrow, of course, on Connections, we'll have some updates. We'll be talking with the Gloucester Mayor live at 10:30 tomorrow and see if we can get some updates on the latest on the state of emergency in Massachusetts and in the region. Okay, so there you go. Stressing doesn't do any good at all. And so what we'll do is take our first break here of the evening, and then I'll check in with the Hamilton Wenham High School Athletic Director, Craig Genualdo. So please stay with us, and we've got lots of information to impart to you tonight. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. We'll be right back.
You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Looking to score big on your savings this season? Open a CD savings or money market account at Institution for Savings. This is the perfect time to earn funds for your future, and our rates are among the best. Stop by one of our offices in Amesbury, Beverly, Boxford, Gloucester, Hamilton, Ipswich, Middleton, Newburyport, Rockport, Rowley, Salem, Salisbury, and Topsfield. Or visit us online at institutionforsavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF.
North Shore Today is MSO News Sports' daily local news podcast with news from all around the North Shore. The Post also shares a note on the weather, local photos, notices, and our video of the day. Check it out daily, North Shore Today.
Thank you.
Well, sometimes things don't go according to plan, do they? So we'll still try to get a hold of Hamilton Wenham High School Director of Athletics, Greg Genualdo, in a minute. But first, what we'll do is, I guess we'll open up with Bill Newell's interview with the Lynn English High School basketball coach. They are the Division I Eastern Massachusetts champions, and I guess, well, it won't be a state title game this year, but we'll let Bill and Coach Anderson tell you all about it.
Lynn English Coach Antonio Anderson is with us, and Coach Anderson, welcome. Good to be talking with you again.
How you doing, Lynn?
I'm good. I clearly teams that were slated to play in the state championship basketball game scheduled for this past weekend have to be disappointed that the games were not held. We, of course, we all understand the reasoning, but tell us, you know, how you and the team, you know, kind of reacted to this.
You know, just probably like everyone else in the state, you know, we're all upset, you know, that the game couldn't be played. But we definitely understand the second chances. We see how fast things are evolving with the whole virus going on. But, you know, it's a little devastating when you see on TV when other states are playing their championship games with no fans and things like that. So it seems like it could have been doable, but, they had to play a season, which we totally understand.
Yeah. Coach, as you obviously for Lynn English, a unique situation in the fact that you are the defending state champs coming back looking for that clean, again, state title. So I guess tell me, what have you had a chance to get together with the team since the announcement?
Yeah, we did. You know, the day after we spoke about it, you know, and just told them to keep the heads up. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we put ourselves in a position to win two state titles in a row, and we were able to accomplish that. We had, like, the game to be played so we can prove that on the floor, of course. But, you know, they granted both teams the honor, and, you know, we'll accept it. And, you know, we're now back-to-back state champions, which is very rare these days. So we're excited about it. You know, the kids moved past it, and, you know, that's all they can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that note, obviously, congratulations to you, the team, the coaching staff. Obviously, a great group of young men, you know, on the team. And, Coach, maybe as a final question, what do you take away from the season? I mean, you and I have talked a number of times about how, you know, about trying to repeat as state champs. It's not an easy road necessarily to do that. You guys were able to do that. I guess, what do you take finally from this season?
You know, just how hard they worked. Guys listened, they bought in from the day we started after Thanksgiving. You know, we pushed them and we got after them defensively in practice, and, you know, they competed. And, you know, that's what it took. You know, I think we got a great group of guys coming back next year. A lot of younger guys who played a lot of minutes. So, you know, now we got to challenge ourselves one more time when that time comes around and try to make things happen for us again.
You got it. Coach, what's up for you in the springtime and summer? Anything? Any big plans?
No, man. With this thing going on, man, just relaxing and working, nothing else.
Yep, you got it, Coach. Thanks so much for your time and all your help this season. And congratulations again to you and the team on the year.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys' support.
Yep, Coach Antonio Anderson, Lynn English High boys basketball.
All right, that was Bill Newell with Lynn English High School basketball coach Antonio Anderson. Co-champs, hoping to be champs outright in Division State 1, but no title game this year for obvious reasons. We're going to turn our attention now to Hamilton Wenham High School. Check in with the director of athletics at Hamilton Wenham, Greg Genualdo. Greg, how are you?
Good. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing good. Tim's not here tonight. Tim is he's going to be working remotely, as was suggested by the governor, so...
Okay.
Okay.
As long as he's safe.
There you go. Yeah, and everybody, of course. When did you guys have to leave campus? When did school close for you guys?
We had our first day off was Friday, and then we had a planned day off of professional development Monday,
mm-hmm.
and then somewhere over the weekend, they decided to go originally for 2 weeks, and then the governor extended it for the third week.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's been kind of every day has been kind of some new information. information come in, and that's what you got to do. You just got to be adaptable and adjust as you get the info. So.
Yeah, you know, and it's in my lifetime, this is the first time I think the country has been mobilized like this. There was a similar situation, of course, back in 2001 when everything came to a halt on 9/11. And as I recall, it ground to a halt for about 3 or 4 days almost completely. And then things started to slowly get back online. But this is going to take a while. So gives us a good chance, Craig, to take a look back at winter high school sports at Hamilton Wenham. You guys, sure. Another successful season and a lot of participants, I presume.
Yeah, no, in the last few years we've had certain sports that were either didn't exist or had struggled for participation really make a strong comeback. And so, you know, without really hurting the sports that we have, I think the winter is very unique in that all the sports are really specific, and you know, you're not going to lose basketball kids because they play hockey, or you're not going to lose a gymnast because they play girls basketball, you know. So we've been able to increase our participation, keep the programs we have strong, and we've had some success in the gyms and courts and pools and things. And so from that standpoint, it was a very, very good year.
I know with basketball, it started for us. We know Ian Coffey very well from football, you know, from when he, you know, since he's been a sophomore. He led the team on a pretty successful season. And he himself has garnered some honors, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, he has. And it was a great year. I think what's so amazing about the boys basketball team is that, you know, they started out struggling. And I think a large part, you know, part of it was, if you remember, we had a couple of snow days at the beginning, and then we played some early games. And, you know, for a veteran team, that's not the end of the world. They can kind of pick up where they left off and get going. But, you know, we lost our four-year captain, or a four-year starter in Billy, and multiple-year captain Billy Whalen, who was a point guard and kind of made the show go. And so that space created a vacuum. You know, and you mentioned Marcus, but it was, you know, Hutch and, you know, the different kids on the team, and Carter and Ian and, you know, we had some kids that were leaders in other sports, to be sure, you know, whether it was Ian, or, you know, we knew Marcus was talented, or Hutch is just an all-around good athlete in everything he does. But I think with Billy leaving, it took them some time to come together as individuals and say, wow, like, I can't just kind of be the other guy now. I got to take my turn stepping up here. And that was the best thing about their team, was that every night it was someone different that would lead the team and score and spark them in a different way. So they were fun to watch as they, like, you know, they started out 1-5 and wanted to win in the league in a couple tournament games. So it was a great year.
Absolutely. Now tell us about the girls basketball team.
Yeah. So, you know, Coach Flanagan had to step away right at the start of the year. So Coach Cole stood in, and he had been with the girls for a couple of years. And, you know, we had three seniors this year that, you know, they were freshmen when we went to the North Finals, and they were, you know, they were the only, we had no seniors last year. This year it was just the three of them, and, you know, they navigated some stormy waters, and Gemma Shea and Maddie Rivers and Belle Dolan, and they really navigated some storm of their career. But, you know, they wanted to have a great senior year, and they went out and, you know, made the tournament, and, you know, they wound up drawing North Reading, who they lost to by about, I'd say, I think it was like 12 points they lost in the first round. But then North Reading went on an incredible run, very, very deep in the tournament. And, you know, I think it showed that the girls had a better year than I think people thought. And I think they were a dark horse in the tournament. They just drew the hottest team at the time, and that was too bad. But they had a great season, too.
Yeah, that's cool. And it's a good story, too. What about the other sports, Craig? How'd you make out with the other teams?
Yep, so gymnastics. And that was one of the teams we said that a few years ago was really struggling for numbers. But we had a great cooperative agreement this year with Manchester Essex, as always, and we added Penguin Hall to the co-op this year. And, you know, we had about 12 girls, and we won the league for the third year in a row. It was like they call it the NEC South, because the Cape Ann League doesn't really have gymnastics. And I got to give those girls and Coach Chris Way a lot of credit for all that they accomplished. Hockey, and it's, you know, and it's we're in our fourth year of varsity. It's our sixth year back because we had the two JV years, and we had made the tournament the last 2 years, and we did again this year. We probably had, I think we had the highest number of wins in the regular season we've had since we came back. And unfortunately, we just drew Newton South, who's, you know, 87 times our size, and
yeah.
I mean, the kids didn't use it as an excuse, and, you know, we took them to double overtime. We were 13 seconds away from a shootout, and I think we would have had a really good shot. You know, the second overtime is a 3-on-3 for 5 minutes, and the kids, you could tell they were just gassed.
Mm-hmm.
There was a scrum in front of the net that popped through, but Coach Ryan and Coach Churchill were just incredible guys, and, you know, the seniors we had, especially Matty Dearborn and Keegan O'Shea and Finn Brophy, and even Lenny Dolan, Bell's brother, came out and played this year. Those guys really kind of took the bull by the horns and did a great, great job in terms of leadership, because they were, you know, when they were freshmen, it was their first year of varsity. And, you know, I think we were 0-18-2. And so to come from that as freshmen and then be a part of a turnaround where they made the tournament 3 years in a row is just incredible.
Yeah, not only that, it's such a competitive league. And, you know, you guys play out of league sometimes, yep. and play above. And, yeah, that's a great experience. I mean, it's just so yep. cool to hear that. I mean, we're very close with Coach Pugh, so, you know, he sends along a lot of this information during the rest of the year, other than just football. Mm-hmm. And I'm amazed at the participation and how well the kids do. But I think also, Craig, that obviously speaks well of the coaches that you have.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and I would be remiss, I should mention too, and it's only because I talk too much and I didn't get a chance to mention them yet, but girls swimming also won the first girls league title in a long, long time. We won a co-ed championship, I think, in 2002. It went to boy-girl about a few years ago, and, you know, we hadn't won a league title of any kind, and the girls swim team did an amazing job, went undefeated in their league. So I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Coach Klobuchar as well as them. But that said, you're right, getting back to your question, I think if you look at the sports we've had, we have had consistency in coaches, and that consistency and kind of the steady hand, you know, matters, because I think what happens is I think the kids, you know, kind of when they're young, they come in and the culture's already established, and the older players on the team, the older student athletes, can show the younger kids the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when that culture's built in, it's not like everybody learning it at once. It's just you got to get the new kids up to speed, so to speak. And,
right.
You know, Hamilton Wenham, like all the Cape Ann League, really, always has a ton of talent. We always have high participation numbers. Some year we're better in some sports than others. But I do think it's reasonable to say that, you know, we're very lucky to have the coaches we have and the steady hand guiding those programs, because sometimes that is the difference.
Well, I know that everything is up in the air, so we'll get back to you as soon as spring sports begin, but I know it's not going to be for a while. So all I can say is good luck and stay safe.
Thanks. Yeah, no, and like, you know, whether it's our student athletes in our district or any of the Cape Ann League or just the state in general, you know, I think we're all kind of waiting for some concrete information. We did get a little more today that we were able to communicate out, but, you know, I think what happens is it's sort of like a waterfall effect. Once the athletic directors and the schools have the slightest bit of information, you know, the willingness to work to make the best available situation out of what's going on, I think that's what makes our league and our area so good, is that people are committed to the kids' experience, and it's not about anything else other than that. And so, yeah, we're going to take some blows here and there, and things maybe shorten and can adjust it. But, you know, like a coach that has to make a halftime adjustment, it's the same thing. We have to be careful and safe in the meantime. We can't be stupid, and we got to really take care of one another and take care of ourselves. But when it is time to go and we get the green light, I have a feeling everybody's going to be ready to do that.
You know it. You know it. Everybody be ready to go at it. Great leadership over there, Craig. Thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it. And we'll talk soon, I hope.
Very grateful for all you do for everybody.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you, Craig. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Right, bye-bye. That's Craig Genualdo, who is the Hamilton Wenham Director of Athletics. And, you know, everything on hold for a while. All right, so we're going to take a... Well, I don't even know if we're going to take a break. We're going to bring Bill in here and talk a little bit about, let me just see what's best here. I think we'll have Bill check in with Danny V, and then we'll have Jeff Newhall after we talk to Gary Larrabee. So that's all upcoming here on MSO, so please stay with us.
Joining us now is Danny Ventura from the Boston Herald, also high school sports editor for a number of other publications. We'll make note of those. But, Dan, welcome. Good to be talking with you. Of course, no stranger to state tournament playoffs from the past week or two.
Well, Well, and until this weekend, it was no stranger to it. This weekend, it was pretty strange, that's for sure.
That's a good. That's why you're the wordsmith, Dan, for sure. you're right. What was your take on the way the MIAA handled the situation?
Yeah, I mean, I know they're an easy target, but in this situation, I mean, you know, they really were in uncharted waters, and you just nobody knew what was going on. And I think them too. I mean, it was just, you know, I almost felt badly for them because no matter what decision they were going to come to, you were going to get some cross of people who were going to be upset. I mean, certainly the kids wanted to play this weekend, and they let their feelings known in a variety of social media outlets. But, I mean, the way I look at it is that as much as I would love to have seen state championships contested, when you've got college and major pro sports teams pulling the plug, it would have been tough for the MIA to pull it, to go and play this weekend.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that some of us were thinking that they would fall into line like dominoes when these other leagues were doing things. But you know something, I can't fault them for waiting one more day or two and cutting it a little closer. I don't have a problem with that. Why cancel's too early? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And then if something were that they were able to play, then all of a sudden people would be all over them. Why did they jump the gun so quickly?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're right. A difficult situation. Having said that, though, they up on the website. They're playing, but more or less, and it did seem like a little bit odd, but I don't fault them for sure.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's certainly, you know, playing, and I understand why they played Thursday night, you know, just so they would have co-champions. But that irks some people too, because you're telling us you're not playing this weekend, but you're okay playing Thursday night.
Yeah, all right. One of those, you're right, a situation you cannot win. I get that piece, yeah. But they played without fans on that game. And you were at those games, weren't you, Dan?
I was not at the Thursday night game. Matt Feld was there. He said the coaches did a great job of getting, you know, because essentially they were able to sell their kids on the fact that, hey, you're playing a state championship game tonight, which technically they were, because the winners were going to be declared co-champions.
It's funny that leading up to that week, it I don't know when it struck me, but it did strike me as we're watching these other leagues consider playing games without fans. I'm thinking, wait a minute here, why would you play them without fans? You know, play them at all? It just because the fans are such a big piece of this, even in a high school tournament. It struck me. I hadn't really thought of it in those terms before, but the fans are a huge key to any of this.
Right. What I would have liked to is another possibility. I think, you know, if you want to limit the fans, maybe just have the immediate family, you know, let them go to the game. You know, mothers, fathers, you know, I'd hate to have an empty place and not have anyone there. I would have looked at it like something is better than nothing.
Yeah. So now the MIAA has postponed spring for 2 weeks, and I get that. I think that's a wise move. Let's see what happens. They're probably going to have to tack more time onto that. I'm okay with them waiting another week or two before doing that, but is that what you're hearing?
I mean, I think at this point, I mean, nobody seems to know what's going on because you're looking at best-case scenario getting teams out there in early April, and that's the best-case scenario. Which means you're going to have to go another 2 or 3 weeks. So you're not, I mean, I can't see the season starting if everything goes well before, say, you know, early May. I think that's even being very optimistic.
Tweet from somebody, and it makes sense. I mean, teams should not be doing kind of like captain's practices because that defeats what you're talking about, the delay as well. So hopefully that stuff's not happening.
Right. I mean, I think what you may look at, if they do play, I think you may have to wind looking at some sort of scenario where you have an open tournament. Everyone gets in. You know, play like a 10 or 12 game schedule, and then your school decides you want to get in, you get in. Maybe scratch the Super 8 in baseball.
Hmm. Man, you've got a lot of ideas. You've had time to think about this, right?
It's either that or I got to do stuff around the house.
Gosh, don't do that. No.
Can't have that.
Hey, Dan, what else those are the two big topics, I think, in high school. But obviously the big playoff announcement that came a couple of weeks ago where they're going to the statewide tournament, not this coming year, but the following year. You're not sold on that, are you?
The only thing that makes me nervous is you hit with the max prep scenario, and there's been so many mistakes on there. And the MIA is pretty confident that they're going to get this fixed, but I don't know. Other than that, I do like the format. I mean, I think you have to do something about leveling the playing field, because you look at even this year in the basketball tournament, you know, Lynn English, I think, had to win 5 games to get to the state final. The team they were playing, I believe, only had to play 3. And that, you know, in basketball, it's somewhat of a big thing. But in baseball, it's a huge thing when you have the pitching component there, that a team that, you know, may have one real good pitcher can ride him to a state title, whereas somebody who's got to play 2 or 3 extra games doesn't have that same luxury.
No, you're right. That would be huge in baseball and other sports. I get that. You know, I was kind of opposed to it. I'm open-minded on the whole situation now. However, you know what I do miss, I would miss, and we had a weekend ago at the Saugus Center with the boys and girls basketball. I mean, that was a great day of basketball for North teams,
the North Championship.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, you know, yeah, I guess you have to give some to get some. I think you're still going to get good matchups, and I think what you saw a lot in the South, which is why I think a lot of the teams in the South really like this setup, is if you look at Division I South in boys basketball, the quarterfinals, 3 of the 4 matchups had teams playing against each other in the same league. You know, CM played BC High, Newton North played Needham. You know, and you had Attleboro play Mansfield. I mean, those coaches hate that.
Mm.
You know, they'd rather go see. I mean, even, you know, looking in the North, talking to Dave Fazio at Andover, he was cringing before the tournament because he said he needed one matchup to come through. He says, otherwise, I'm going to, for the 900th straight year, I'm going to be playing somebody in my league right away. He says, I'd almost rather play someone like Lynn English, who is clearly better than us, but at least it's different.
Well, I can see that point too. I mean, there's also been an old adage, you know, the great, you play a team in your league twice, and then beating them the third time in that state tournament game is always a challenge. And I think it's historically been interesting over the years in a number of different states as well. Right. So yeah, I was going to ask you one other thing, Dan, on the tournament. Oh, I know. You know, that one of the things with the boys tournament I really am glad to get out and have watched. You know, I see Lynn English during the course of the year. I've seen Beverly. But Lowell and Whitman Hanson basketball, man, I am so glad I got a chance to see those teams this year.
Oh, I mean, Whitman Hanson, you know, they've always been pretty good. But, you know, when they get to that certain, you know, they've won the sectional a couple times in a row. They get to the Garden, and they've kind of, you know, they were competitive one year, but another year they were overmatched. And early in the year when they're winning games, I'm like, well, you know what? That's how Whitman Hanson is. They're going to win a few games. They'll run up against somebody. And then I saw them in January, and I'm like, holy smokes, they're pretty good. And then the end of the regular season, they beat Brockton and Mansfield to win a tournament. And Mansfield and Brockton were the Division I South finalists. And Mansfield won the South, and Whitman Hanson beat both of them. They were very impressive. I mean, they really shot the lights out against Beverly.
Yeah, they're in D2. You know, I don't know how they would do against D1 teams like English and Lowell. I get that point with the quickness, but man, they were quick and strong. I mean, it was an interesting combination across the board strength on Whitman Hanson. I'm referring to that. I was really stunned by what they were able to do that night against Beverly.
And then they bring in a 6'10 kid who's like their ninth man, comes off the bench, and he's looking like he should be playing in the NBA.
Yeah, right. He had a brother too, very similar, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I mean they were pretty. They were talented and deep.
They were. Danny, anything else to add to us? I'll let you go, but anything else to share with us regarding the past state tournament action?
I'm just hoping we do get some sort of spring season.
I do, too. Hey, that would be good news on a lot of different levels, for sure. So let's hope for that. I know it's not going to happen right away, but let's hope for that in the weeks ahead, for sure. Danny, always good talking with you. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure, Bill. You take care.
Yep.
Dan Ventura, who from the Boston Herald and other papers as well, high school sports editor.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com. Catch the big names in North Shore news and sports on MSO News Sports Podcast, the North Shore's podcast leader for both news and sports features, connecting you to the North Shore.
All righty now, we're back live with Gary Larrabee, golf writer and sports historian. Gary, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Rick, but it looks like everyone else around us is not doing so good.
It's all falling apart, and it doesn't end with a bang, it ends with a whimper. So that's what it seems like, but more to the point here, everything in sports is on hold. Everything is off at every level. And astonishingly enough, that includes golf and the Masters tournament. So I don't know, maybe we should start there?
Yeah, we've never seen anything like this. You know, we had the Players' Championship underway last Thursday. We got the first round in. Then they thought they might play the rest of the tournament without any gallery. And then the same day, Thursday, of course, by the evening, they decide no more golf, so no more Players' Championship, the biggest purse in professional golf, and no tournaments for at least the next 3 weeks, and it could very well be longer than that. And what is most painstaking about that, Rick, of course, is there's not going to be any Masters tournament in early April. And I think with all the leagues suspending play, and now the Masters is being postponed, this may be the end of the world for some of us.
Well, yeah, I know. But you know what? As soon as this thing is lifted and the grass is green and people start getting it out there, it'll all fall back into place. And I'm thinking, you know, the Masters in September, that has a certain appeal to it, too.
No, you're right. It would probably be October, since they got the Ryder Cup at the end of September. They would have some open weekends, I believe, when they could make some adjustments and hold the tournament in October. We'll keep our fingers crossed. But the great irony here, Rick, I think we mentioned it a little bit last week, we have the earliest start to golf on the North Shore that I can ever recall.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The golf courses were all open last week. The private clubs were open last week. And now, of course, the golf courses, I think, are still accessible. But, of course, all the clubhouses and all the pro shops are, or at least the clubhouses are off limits. They're shut down. But, oddly enough, we can still play on the golf course.
I haven't seen anything like this in my lifetime. I was just talking with with Craig Genualdo over at Hamilton Wenham. You know, I know in, you know, in 9/11, the country shut down for a few days. The state has shut down a couple of times with snowstorms and, of course, after the Boston Marathon. But this is something I think that is so unusual due to the fact that it's a great unknown. And nobody knows how long that this is going to be shut down. There's all kinds of speculation. And so we sort of have to go day by day. And I think that's what makes it so, for me, it makes me kind of anxious. I think that's, you know, the not knowing factor. If you said, okay, you got to be shut down till September, well, okay, I'll have to deal with that. But it's this this unknowing thing. And for sports, Gary, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, I know the trickle-down effect in arenas, for example, is gigantic. And hats off and congratulations to Kevin Love for putting up $100,000 for the workers at where he plays at in Cleveland. But the trickle-down effect in golf, I mean, it's probably similar, although maybe not as big.
No, but the big issue with the PGA Tour, the European Tour, the LPGA Tour, even the minor league tour, the Corn Ferry Tour, underneath the PGA Tour, all these tournaments all raise money for charity. We're talking millions of dollars
gotcha.
For the
yep.
events.
Yep.
and that money has now been lost for at least the next month, maybe longer. And the other thing, though, I think, Rick, all of this is putting sports into a very unique perspective. We love our sports, we love our golf, we love our baseball, hockey, we love all the playoffs that we may not have this year. But obviously there's something much bigger going on right now. We're talking about people's lives, and nothing's more important than that. And thankfully the professional sports teams and the sports leagues have come to that realization very quickly. And we'll just have to live with it from here and see how things go between now and whether we're talking 3 weeks or 3 months, maybe even longer than that.
Yeah. And, of course, the major networks, the sports networks, all have highlights from years gone by, and maybe that'll give the young folk a little chance to see what it was all about back in the day.
Yeah, we'll get over all of this. In terms of immediacy, we certainly felt bad for all the high school hockey players and basketball players who couldn't get to their state championship games last weekend, either in Worcester or in the Garden, hockey and basketball. But they'll just have to live with that and accept the fact that they're co-champions, no complete outright state champions in those two sports. And it's a lesson we're all having to learn the hard way, but sports will go on, but sports are not the most important thing.
Okay. I have a note here from Tim, and he said, we've already done this. He said, ask Gary about the cancellation of PGA Championship and Masters, as well as Tiger's election to Golf Hall of Fame.
Well, I'm not aware of the last item there, Tiger's election to the Golf Hall of Fame. I don't think that's happened yet, but the PGA Championship is coming up in May. That has not been postponed yet, but I know the PGA Club Pro Championship, the end of April, has been postponed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big difference between cancellation and postponements. But no, it's a mess. I think we're all learning that there's nothing more important than the welfare of young and old. And this is really a worldwide battle. And like Peter Slavin, the president of Mass General Hospital, said on the NBC's Meet the Press on Sunday, this is really a war against disease, and hopefully we'll win the war.
Yep, and everybody has a part in it, that's for sure. Well, Gary, hopefully it'll be a little brighter next Monday, but I trust that we'll do it again.
I will look forward to it, and hopefully we'll have a more brighter outlook on things by then, but most important, everyone just has to take care of themselves and take care of their loved ones and follow the directions of those people and the experts, and just have to see how it all shapes out.
Yep, amen. Amen to that. Gary, you and your family stay safe. We'll talk to you later.
You as well. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Gary. All right. That's Gary Larrabee, a sports historian and golf writer, as everything has shut down. And I don't know what that meant about Tiger's election to the Golf Hall of Fame. I mean, I think that's a given, except I don't think it's happened yet, has it? Don't you have to be out a few years just like in other sports? I don't know. I'll ask Tim in a little while when we talk to Tim. Coming up next, it'll be Bill Newell talking with St. Mary's High School basketball coach and athletic director Jeff Newhall. So please stay with us. We'll be back in a second here.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of KPN Savings Bank, serving the Cape Ann community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our offices or call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, capeannsavings.bank.
Member FDIC. Member DIF. Equal housing lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
Jeff Newhall is with us, the athletic director, girls basketball coach at St. Mary's High School. And, Jeff, welcome. And by the way, congrats on the state title.
Thanks a lot, Bill. It was we obviously would have liked to have played that last game, but, you know, given the circumstances of the situation and the severity of it, you know, looking back, I just think we were really, really fortunate to play as many games as we did and have the opportunity to play at the Boston Garden. So, you know, to be down in the final two, ultimately we missed out on one practice and one game, and a lot of other people around the country are losing out on a lot more than that, for sure. So, you know, we're fortunate to have been able to do what we did and get to a point where we were named a state champion by the MIAA for what we had accomplished on the court, which was a historic season for us across the board, both individually and as a team. So we're very, very grateful and happy that we're able to do what we're able to do.
Yeah. Well, you put that in complete context. But, Jeff, what did you talk about with the team after you learned that there would be no state title game?
You know, it was we practiced on Thursday, and I didn't find out until about 15 minutes after practice had ended, and most of them had already left the building. So it was difficult because I wasn't able to meet with them all as a group. And not only are they a good basketball team, it's really probably the closest team we've ever had, 14 kids that were just did everything together. You know, every team dinner we had, there were 14 there. You know, we went to the Hoosick Valley Christmas tournament for 4 days. We were in South Carolina for 6 days. You know, we were together for almost 4 months. So to try to, you know, unfortunately, I have to try to tell them individually or by email or by phone, you know, text. And then we had a half day Friday, and I was able to meet with them right after school. And, you know, at that point, everyone knew what the situation was. But the emotions were all over the place, as you can imagine. You know, joyous, he's a state champion, emotional. Not because we couldn't play, but because the season came to an end so quickly. And then, you know, and then for the seniors, kind of the reality of everything crashing down on them in about a 16-hour span where everything they had worked for to get to that next game was not going to happen. So we had a little of everything, but we left there. Everyone was in a good way when we left, and they had full understanding of what they had accomplished and that they were a state champion. So I think they're in a good place, and I think every day that goes by now, and this virus continues to grow, unfortunately, I think the kids really understand how severe it is and really how lucky they are to have achieved what they've achieved.
Oh, absolutely. Jeff, as you look back at your season, maybe just a quick observation or two on what made the season special?
You know, I think right off the bat, we kind of came out and got whacked in the face right out of the gate. I mean, you look at our first five quarters of the season, we lost to Williams in the first game. Then we come out in our second game against Andover, who ends up being the Division I state champ, and we're down 11-1 after a quarter. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I thought we were going to be good. I don't know what the heck's going on here. And then as it would, you know, the second, third, fourth quarter ended up with Andover, we ended up winning by 20-plus, and we reeled off 18 straight. And, you know, they just, I think, you know, we hit rock bottom in the first game of the year. And sometimes you got to be whacked around a little bit before you really figure out that this isn't going to be easy. We got to go work for it. And we found that out early, as opposed to game 18 or 19. And I'm like, oh, my God, we got to reinvent the wheel. You know, first game we knew, okay, listen, we've only been doing this for 2 weeks, but you got to understand, you have a target on your back. You're going to have to work harder than everybody else the rest of the year. And we certainly hit the switch and were able to do that.
Your story reminds me of one I just heard recently from Bob Rogers, the boys coach at Whitman-Hanson, who had a similar situation. But, again, they are state champions as well in boys Division II. Hey, Jeff, I also know that you've just heard from the MIAA, as all schools have, that the delay for spring sports has been pushed, to nobody's surprise, to the end of April. Maybe just a quick update on that.
Yeah, so the first day of tryouts has now been pushed to April 27th, with the completion date of the season. The state championship would be June 20th, which is no move on their part. And going into summer, I can totally understand that. So, you know, right now, best case scenario, it looks like, you know, we would start April 27th, and then essentially you'd have your regular season in the month of May, and then the postseason would be for 3 weeks in June. So how that actually unfolds, if it even unfolds at all, how many games you're going to get in, as you know, we all understand in the month of May we have – proms, senior banquets, graduations. So there's a lot of stuff that in play here to be able to try to get whatever it might be, 8 to 10 game regular season in. But, you know, I think that's also a best case scenario, that we're actually able to start on the 27th and get games going maybe a week or 10 days later with the hope of a state tournament. You know, like I said, that's best case scenario. I think at this point, if there was further delay, I think the MIA would not further delay. I think if they have to take another vote, I don't think it's going to be good for anybody. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I gotcha. Jeff, always good talking with you. Congratulations to you, the coaching staff, and the team for really a great season this year. Again, too bad it didn't culminate with that championship game last Saturday, but we understand, as everybody does. But again, Jeff, thanks for your time, and thanks for all your help this year.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for all your coverage as well.
Yeah. Jeff Newhall, girls basketball coach, athletic director at St. Mary's.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Thank you to Jeff Newhall. And we turn our attention now to Cape Ann Sports with the Gloucester Times sports director, sports editor, I should say, Nick Kukru. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, that's a great question, isn't it?
Right.
You know, Jeff Newhall, you know, the AD at St. Mary's and also the girls' basketball coach, was just mentioning, you know, best case scenario now for spring sports, where they're not supposed to start till April 27 if it happens then. You know, you might get 8 or 10 games in, and then you're into June. But this thing, as we go along here, it's conceivable that we might not even have spring sports in high school.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, at this point, I'd kind of be surprised if we did. I mean, I don't know. I don't see how it could happen. The way that it's set up now, I feel like that is the absolute latest they could possibly,
yeah,
you know, get started and still salvage something out of the season. If they have to push it back again, which I see no reason why they wouldn't have to, that there's no way they're going to be able to play it.
Yeah, I think it's sad, for sure.
It is.
But also in the bigger picture, you know, it's necessary. You know, we all know that. And it is sports. And I think, you know, maybe on a brighter note, Nick, we could take a look at the Winter Female Sports All-Stars from the Gloucester Times, because some really interesting names there. And why don't you start off with the Winter Sports MVP for us?
Yeah, sure. So it was Mia Cromwell, Manchester, a 1,000-meter runner. I mean, she pretty much broke her own school record on a weekly basis this season. Ended up winning the Division V state championship. She was top 10 at the All-State, top 10 in New England. I believe she was the KBAN League Runner of the Year as well. So she had a pretty legit resume over the last few months.
Do you know where she's going next year?
I do not. I believe she's going to play soccer, though. She's a really good soccer player.
Right. Yeah. I think what caught my eye, too, Nick, is the fact that of the 10 All-Stars here, four of them are on swim teams. And astonishing to me, two from Gloucester.
Yeah, they, I mean, there's some state-level swimmers in the area. Maybe the teams don't, clean up because they don't have huge numbers, so sometimes they'll get beaten those dual meets by, mm-hmm, you know, teams with more kids. But the state meets, I mean, there's a handful of kids that are there every year. It's pretty interesting. I know those two girls from Manchester Essex First and Minna Thanis, I mean, they were top five in the state, as was Caroline McKay from Gloucester. Won the North section in the 50 freestyle, which is, about as impressive as it gets.
Now, the Athanas girls, tell me about them. Any relation to the other Athanas?
They're cousins. Elizabeth Athanas, the swimmer, is Mike Athanas' daughter.
Okay.
And so I want to say the other one is a niece.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, they're both excellent athletes, obviously.
Great athletes, yeah. And, you know, let's see, who else we have here? You've got a couple of others. You've got Shay First from Manchester Essex, Willow Barry from Gloucester, Ella Marshall in basketball from Gloucester, Emily Jacobson, Manchester Essex basketball, Sedona Gillard in Gloucester track. Who else? Lauren Ryan, Rockport basketball, and Kylie Schrock, Rockport basketball. Any of those guys you want to mention?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Kylie Schrock had a huge year, 23 points per game. She was the highest scoring girl on the North Shore by a good amount, too. I mean, she just was dominant. And unfortunately, she tore her ACL in the first round of the tournament, and Rockbrook got bounced in the second round in a game that probably would have been close if she were on the floor.
And you've got her 50 points away from 1,000 as she goes into her senior year.
Yeah, 50 points away from 1,000. She's only a sophomore.
Wow.
She's a sophomore year. So she's obviously going to get that.
Let me see here. Does she play any other sport? Do you know?
Yeah, she plays soccer and softball. So, I mean, she'll obviously be out for this softball season, probably out for soccer season as well, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, I don't know when we're going to talk spring sports, Nick, and I know you don't know either. So,
I know. We're taking it day by day. I guess all we could really do.
I know, exactly. All right, so what are you going to do in the sports section now? I mean, I'm guessing there are other stories related to, to being out of school. But will you be having more of these All-Star retro things in the paper?
Yeah. So tomorrow we're doing the boys winter All-Stars, and then I'm jumping into. Since there's nothing going on, I'm kind of doing all decade teams for the local.
Oh, cool.
Hockey and football. Hockey and basketball teams. So that takes up enough space.
Yep.
Right there. And then after that, we're just gonna have to figure stuff out. you might be seeing a lot of look back series coming up in the coming months here.
Yeah, I think it's gonna happen all over the place. Yeah. Well, Nick.
It is. Yeah. it is what it is. It's all we can do. Right?
That's right. That's right. Well, Nick, stay safe. You and your family, stay out of harm's way, and we'll talk very soon.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Take care. That's Nick Kukru, who is the sports editor of the Gloucester Daily Times. And now I'm going to catch my breath, and we'll finish it up with Mr. Kearns. We'll be checking in with Tim in just a second here. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And, of course, Bill Newell and Tim will be right up.
You'll love the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, as they feature a menu to please everyone. Start your meal with your choice from a dozen delicious appetizers. There are also soups and fresh salads. Dinner selections include burgers, sirloin tips, chicken parmesan, chicken piccata, and then there's seafood, clams, haddock, salmon, lobsters, and fish tacos, plus a wide selection of sandwiches and wraps. Let the Bradford Tavern host your events or functions set in unique spaces. Open 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday. The Bradford Tavern, Route 133 Rowley, and Bradford Tavern.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Check out live sporting events on MSO News Sports and exclusive interviews with coaches and players. When it comes to local news and sports, MSO News Sports keeps you connected to the big stories.
Alrighty now, Tim Kearns working remotely today and in the safety of his own home. Tim, how are you?
I'm well, Rick. I've avoided most people, and...
That's got to be hard for you, Tim. That has to be very hard for you.
Yes, it is.
Because you're not the kind to avoid people, for sure. You're quite the opposite. And this is obviously strange times, but you sent me a little curveball because I didn't know. I haven't been really looking either at sports newspapers or sports websites and so on. I did know about the Masters being postponed and the PGA, but I didn't know about Tiger. And tell me about it.
He was recently elected. He was notified by Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan with the news. He will go in the class of 2021 when he is 45. That is the minimum age a player can be elected now. And in perusing the article that announced it, the age was lowered last year to 45. To be your earliest year of induction. It had been 50. Earlier, it was 40 in 1998 when they began the World Golf Hall of Fame. Phil Mickelson, Ernie Els, and Vijay Singh are among Tiger's contemporaries that have already gained selection to the Hall of Fame. So Tiger joins not only some very renowned contemporaries, but also all the past greats of the Hall. No matter what the age was, he was going to be a first-year inductee simply because of his accomplishments over the course of his career. We all know that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And not a surprise at all, just a surprise. I mean, I know that, you know, in the other pro sports, the major leagues, you generally have to wait 5 years after you've retired from the sport. But different in golf, and why not?
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of sports that that have eligibility requirements of time out of the league, but there are also several that people to their Hall of Fames while they're still actively playing. So golf happens to be one of them. And you know, you look at his numbers: 82 wins, 15 majors. He's got 11 other victories around the world. You know, I mean, he's sick. When he won in 97 at the Masters, he set 12 records. He set a tie 20 records when he won by 12 shots at the age of 21. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the things he did were just unbelievable, no doubt. Well, good. Good for him. And, you know, that's the other thing. It's nice when you can enjoy it while you're still able to enjoy it, I guess.
Yeah, you know, he'll certainly hear the applause next year, and maybe even he gets back on the course this year, and the word gets out that he has been selected for membership in the Hall of Fame. And of course, next year, once his induction takes place, you know, the crowd will be roaring for him. He's meant so much for the game of golf. He's made millions of young golfers take up the game. He has put cash into his competitors' pockets by simply, you know, the money considerably has come onto the tour. He made golf a 4-day watch because you never knew what Tiger was going to do from one round to another. And if you look at most of the young players today, I won't say off because there are still some throwback body types, but you look at the players today, they're tall, they're thin, they're lean, they're muscular. And that all started with Tiger.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point. I want to shift gears, Tim, as we close this thing out. Two things that are on my headlines. One is Kevin Love, the way he has led the way for professional athletes to pony up for those who work in their orbit. And I don't know what the name of the arena is in Cleveland, but Love put up $100,000, as I'm sure you know, to help the workers in the arena, the part-time workers, the people who have been laid off, and the people who rely on, you know, Cleveland basketball, to, you know, for their income. And I think that's just it's a drop in the bucket on the one hand for him, but that's a hell of a gesture.
Yeah, but, you know, even more so was Zion Williamson. He's going to pay
yes.
the wages of everybody
yes.
in New Orleans, all the workers,
yes.
in everybody's wages.
Yep, that's at the arena. That's incredible. And he is he didn't put a time limit on it, I don't think, and he put out a statement.
No, and you know, he's a rookie, and you
yep.
know, obviously he came from a situation where probably money wasn't a wonderful thing around. And yet he's making sure that these people in this very tough time are taken care of.
Yeah, his statement was amazing, and I don't know who's advising him, but he's taking really, really good advice. And what is he, like 19 or 20 years old?
Yeah, and you know, I'm not even sure he had to be advised of that. I think if anybody advised him of that, it was his mother.
Yeah, that's what it seemed to be. So, you know, and I totally forgot about Z, and I'm glad you brought it up, because that blew me away when I saw that. So there are... You know, I think that when this thing is over and when it's all said and done, whenever it is, I think we will look back and there will have been some good to come out of it. And that's right there are two good stories, and they're leading the way. Other thing, Tim, I guess for those who want Tom Brady.
Well, you know, we're going to find out. And you know, I have not listened to any of the banter, any of the guessing, any of that stuff, because that's all it is. And, you know, the moves of the last couple of days with United saying we're keeping Jimmy G and Tannehill signing back with Tennessee, and other teams just falling by the wayside. You know, I said from the beginning he would be back, and I think they're just playing the mum game, not saying anything, let everybody do the talking for him, let them all guess. And then in the final analysis, he'll be back. Now, he would shock me if he left. He was always coming back.
I hope so. I'm still hoping. Keep my fingers crossed. All right, anything else you want to mention, Coach?
Not much to mention, Rick.
All right, we got the beer pod coming up sometime this week, probably on Thursday, so we'll get back together for that.
Yes, but I may even tape one and send it in.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
All right, Coach, stay safe. You and Medium, stay safe. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Rick, good night.
Take care, Tim. That's Tim Kearns, our sports analyst extraordinaire here on MSO. That's it for now. I want to thank everybody for being with us tonight and hope that all of you remain safe, get your groceries, and get all the things that you need to get, and that this thing passes over quickly and safely for everyone. I want to thank Craig Genualdo for being on board tonight from Hamilton Wenham High School. He's the director of athletics. Thanks to Danny V. And to also to coaches Antonio Anderson of Lynn English High School and Jeff Newhall of St. Mary's High School, boys basketball Division I state championship coach, and girls Division II state championship coach, respectively. And, of course, to Bill Newell for hosting all of that. Nick Kukru of the Gloucester Times, appreciate your being by. And, of course, to Gary Larrabee and Tim Kearns, our regulars, my appreciation. That's it from here. Hope tomorrow's a better day for you. On behalf of Bill and Tim and the other Bill, I'm Rick Moore. This is MSONewsports.com.